I'm going to point out some verses. I think some things will jump off the page. Most of you know we're in the chapter that contains what we call the Ten Commandments. Exodus chapter 20, verse 3. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Verse 4. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Verse 7. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother. Verse 13. Thou shalt not kill. Verse 14. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Verse 15. Thou shalt not steal. And verse 16. Thou shalt not bear false witness. And verse 17. Thou shalt not covet. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us, Lord, as we review simply one of these important foundational moral principles, moral laws that you handed to Moses on tablets of stone, written with your very finger. I pray, Lord, as tonight we just simply focus on one, I pray, dear God, that we would be people of integrity. We would be people, Lord, that would not live in such a way to bring reproach upon the name of Christ or to be hypocrites in what we say we believe and then how we truly conduct ourselves. I pray, God, that you would minister to God's people, make us better for having been here tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And you may be seated. We draw your attention back to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, the eighth commandment found in verse number 15, very simple, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not steal. I read an article. Some of the things guys send me through the email are hilarious. I'll be honest with you, I'm glad to get something every once in a while that just makes me laugh. The Bible says, a merry heart doeth good like medicine. And there are some humorous stories. You know, one policeman said that you won't find a smart criminal because if they were smart, they wouldn't be criminals. Right, criminals. I mean, that's just... there was three old, good old boys from Georgia. If you're from Georgia, I apologize. I'm sure this bears no reflection on you as a person. Three good old boys from Georgia, and they didn't have hardly two nickels to rub together. They were in their early 20s. They were bored. And one night, in the end of May, they were drinking. And they began to lament the fact that they never got to go anywhere, and they never had any money. And the more they drank, the more aggravated they got, and the more they talked this up. Finally, they begin to, I think with the help of the fact that they were inebriated, begin to devise a plan to cure both of those things. This, by the way, was last summer. And they planned, in all three of their combined geniuses, a summer crime spree. And they had, by the time they got done drinking and got done planning, decided that the next morning they were going to get in the truck and they were going to leave. And they were going to commit a robbery in every state of the Union for the next 50 days. They would finance this road trip by stealing and by the money that they stole, and that would get them to the next state, and then they would commit another robbery, and they would see all 50 states by means of a robbery a day. Well, they made it to four states. The mistake they made was not leaving Texas as the last state. But Texas is a lot like Greene County, Indiana. When you go into Greene County, Indiana, and you decide that you're going to commit a crime, you do not need fear the police. You need to fear the citizens. Someone told me that two out of three adults in Greene County have a permit to carry a concealed weapon. Which means if you're in Stoles and you decide you're going to rob Stoles, Grandma's probably going to shoot you. She'll be over there eating her noodles and mashed potatoes and roast beef. She'll stop, reach in her purse, shoot you, and then finish finish her meal. And so these three geniuses came into a gas station in Texas on their crime spree that was supposed to last 50 days in the entire summer. And on their fourth day, they went into a gas station and tried to rob it. And six of the customers drew guns, arrested them, disarmed them, and held them for the police. So much for their summer crime spree. You know, I read that story, and it's amazing how things that God gives you that's humorous, and I think sometimes things that God gives us to put a smile on our face, and like most of us, I suppose I'm like most of you, I appreciate those things from time to time. I couldn't help but get away from that thought of a summer crime spree. A summer crime spree. Say, Brother Jerry, I'm not so dumb as to get in my pickup truck and decide I'm going to spend the summer going around stealing. Well, like I said, I hope you have more sense than that. But let me just say this. From a preacher's standpoint, from a pastor's standpoint, summertime is notorious for Christians deciding to go on a crime spree. Summer is just, I don't know what it is, whether the sun gets too hot and it burns out our spirituality. I don't know what it is, but it seems like, I think with our young people, sometimes they get out of their routine. I think with us, we get out of our routine a little bit. I think we plan some trips, and again, I'm not against that. I'm for it. I'm going to probably take my family and get away myself. But if we're not careful, folks, we're going to do something in the summertime that I think in God's eyes is probably more foolish, more silly, and really, really, I think, more criminal than those three boys from Georgia decided to do in their attempted crime spree. And let me just say this, too. I think we've got just about as good a chance of getting away with it. Just about as good a chance of getting away with it. I'm going to hit some things tonight that I think hopefully will be a preventive message. You see, folks, I'm not preaching this message for my benefit. I'm preaching this message tonight for your benefit. You've got a pastor that I promise you 100% truly longs to see the blessings of God upon your life, your individual family's life. And I really believe that I would be remiss. I would be delinquent in my responsibilities to you as a pastor from time to time. I didn't come up here and say, folks, listen to me. The next season, and Brother Chapman preached on the seasons of life. For the next season of this year, there are temptations in certain areas that if we're not careful, we'll begin to do things that for the other 9 months, a lot of times we wouldn't dream of doing. And so I want to help you tonight as we talk about how to prevent a summer crime spree. We read in the listing here of the Ten Commandments. We read in Exodus chapter 20, "Thou shalt not steal." Thou shalt not steal. Those three boys from Georgia should have probably been reading this instead of making these plans. Thou shalt not steal. Now let me have you go over, and I promise you we won't spend all of our time here. But we're going to touch on several areas if we're not careful. Malachi chapter number 3. If we're not careful, we as Christians and church members, I'm talking about church members of good, independent, fundamental Baptist churches, if we're not careful, we will be guilty of walking or dragging back in here the end of August, the 1st of September, literally having spent our summer on a spiritual crime spree if we're not careful. Malachi chapter number 3 and verse number 8. Remember, the Bible said, "Thou shalt not steal." In Malachi chapter 3 verse 8, it says, "This will a man rob God. Yet ye have robbed me, but ye say, wherein have we robbed thee?" Here is the answer, folks. In tithes and offerings. Not just in tithes, but in tithes and offerings. So that means that God says, if you don't tithe, you rob me. If you tithe, but you don't give offerings, you rob me. Now, I believe that for some reason, we get into summertime, and we just get the mentality that we can let down on our giving. You say, well, Brother Jerry, you don't understand. price of gas has gone up. Oh, I didn't realize that. You see, preachers, we don't fill our tanks with gas. There's angels that come down during the night and they open our gas tank and they miraculously put gas. I'm well aware of the gas prices. I'm also aware that we built this building here just before the Jimmy Carter administration. We built the addition behind us during the Jimmy Carter administration when there was gas lines, when there was an 18% interest rate. You know why we were able to do that? We did that because Christians at that point in time at Blessed Hope Baptist Church didn't think that you only gave tithes and offerings when the economy was good. You only give tithes and offerings when the interest rates were low. You only give tithes and offerings as long as gas was under $3 a gallon. We didn't believe that back then, and we shouldn't believe it now. Every single member of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, every single born-again Christian that attends Blessed Hope Baptist Church, if you do not give tithes and offerings, you are on a crime spree. For the amount of time you haven't done it, you've robbed God, you owe God, you're a spiritual thief. I'm sorry, folks, I'm not mad at anybody. I'm saying this for your own benefit, because the Bible goes on to say this in verse 9. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. He shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. All of these promises are connected with those who give tithes. What's a tithe, Brother Jerry? As one new convert asked this preacher, what's this thing I read in the Bible about a tithe? Well, it's not a tithe, it's a tithe. What is that? Brother Jerry, I'm pretty new to this. The Bible instructs us that of all of our increase each and every week, we're to bring the first fruits, the first 10% of all of our increase for the previous week, and we're to put it into the storehouse. And the modern day storehouse is the local New Testament church. You're not supposed to take your tithe and send it to some radio preacher. You're not to take your tithe and send it to a televangelist. Matter of fact, don't waste any of your money on them rascals. You're not supposed to take your tithe and say, well, Brother Joe, you don't understand. I've got Aunt so-and-so, and she's had a hard time, and so I took my tithe this week and bought her groceries. You just robbed God. You're a thief. No matter what you did with that money, you're a thief if you don't bring it into the storehouse. Now, folks, listen to me. Have you been on a crime spree? Are you planning this week, summer, to go on a crime spree? How about those vacation weeks? Are you going to just drive out of here and take God's money and go to the amusement park? Are you going to take God's money and go to the museums? Are you going to take God's money and put it in your gas tank so you can drive somewhere and have a good time somewhere? Listen, folks, if you do that, you rob God. You're on a summer spiritual crime spree. I will say this to every person in here. There's been times I've had people come in and want to get counsel because of their finances. I understand that. I understand people go through difficult times. I understand people have made sometimes mistakes in the past. They're trying to recover from that. Let me tell you something, folks. Most of us have been there. It's not a time to beat up on them. It's not a time to say, I told you so. It's a time to get them some good biblical help. Amen. But the first question I always ask is, do you give tithes and offerings? And if their answer is no, or, well, I would, but I can't afford to, or I will as soon as I get things straightened up, I'll stand up from my desk, I'll reach across, I'll shake their hand, I'll pray for them, but I'm not going to waste any more time counseling them, because there is no way in the world I can help you get the blessings of God upon your finance if you're not willing to give tithes and offerings. So do not, folks, go on a summer crime spree. Let's go to Psalm chapter 148. Psalm 148. Brother Jerry, in what other area do we steal during the summer if we're not careful? Do we steal during the summer? Psalm 148. I'm going to hit this one on purpose, and I've got a very good reason for hitting it. Psalm 148 says this, praise ye who? Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise ye Him, all His angels. Praise ye Him, all His hosts. Praise ye Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all ye stars of light. Praise Him, ye heavens of heavens. and ye waters that be above the heavens. I won't take the time to read it all, but folks, we could back up a psalm. We could fast forward a psalm. You just get a hold of the last five psalms and read them at home and read them out loud, and you'll find that you spend a lot of time praising the Lord. There's one thing, one area that God will not share and does not want to share with anybody. He says in 1 Corinthians, the very first chapter, that He will not share His glory with any man. And I think this, if we're not careful, not only do we go on a summer crime spree because we begin to steal from God our tithes and offerings so we can go out and do our thing, but if we're not careful, we can be guilty of stealing praise from God. Don't ever be guilty of stealing praise from God. I'm so thankful. I mean this. I'm thankful for what God allowed us to see last week. But I want to say this to everybody here. And I want to say this so that I'll hear myself say it and be reminded myself. I do not want to, for one minute, tell anybody about what God did last week and in any way try to point some of the credit to me or you or any other human agent. If anything good ever happens at Blessed Oak Baptist Church, it's not because of your preacher. And if anything good ever happens, it's not because of this bus captain or that Sunday school teacher. If anything ever happens good at Blessed Oak Baptist Church, it's not because of this ministry director or this deacon. If anything ever happens good at Blessed Oak Baptist Church, it is because of the graciousness and mercies and the miraculous power of Almighty God. Praise Him! If you're going to praise somebody, praise Him! Somebody asks you, what's going on at Blessed Open Baptist Church? Why in the world is that parking lot so full? Why is it that we see so many people come in and out of there? What is the secret? Listen, don't you start talking about your preacher. Don't you start talking about the choir. Don't you start talking about the organization. Don't you start... Listen, you open your mouth and praise the Lord. You just tell them, I don't know myself, to be honest with you. We're just a bunch of lost sinners. We're no good. We're worthless. Yeah, we try to do what God says, but even in trying, we fall so short. And if God does anything with what we do, it's just because of His mercy and grace. And listen, folks, if we keep praising God, God will keep blessing this church. We start stealing praise from God, and God will start stealing blessings from us. Now, I don't know about you, but I think the most dangerous place in the world for a person to stand, for a preacher to stand, for anybody to stand, is between God and His glory. I'm not going to get in the middle of that. I'm not going to get in the way of that. And one of our men, God bless him, went out the other night, got a hold of my hand, said, Brother Derek, thank you for just keep lifting up Jesus. Thank you for lifting up Jesus. Amen! That's what it's about. That's what it's about. Don't steal praise from the Lord. There comes a point in time where I've got to announce this, and so I'm going to announce it to all of you instead of tell a few of you. But Brother Shelton Smith, maybe some of you are aware of this. Brother Shelton Smith called me last February, and he said he called the office. He'd been here in January. About 3 or 4 weeks later, he called me on the phone. And I'll be honest with you, I don't even like announcing this now. But I'm just going to tell you because I think the church ought to know. But he called me up and he said, Brother Jerry, he said, the Sword of the Lord conference is in July. I said, yes, sir, I'm aware of that. He said, on Tuesday on the afternoon sessions, I want to help pastors, preachers that are in small communities and small towns. I said, thank you, Brother Smith, thank you. You know, I'm tired of going to conferences where if a guy's in a small town and he's not running that many, he goes to a conference and the whole time he just gets kicked around and beat up. And he leaves more discouraged than when he came. I'm a little tired of that kind of hogwash. You know, if you don't run 500, you're nothing. Well, I don't believe that for one second. I don't believe that if you don't run 100, you're nothing. I don't believe you won't run 50. You know what? There's people in different situations, different circumstances. There's men of God. There is greater men of God, and they'll never pastor a church over 100 as anybody that pastors a church of 1,000. I mean that. I mean that with all of my heart. There's men that spend their entire life of bivocational. And they pastor some and have to work some. And you know what? God blesses them and they win souls and they're there to encourage Christians and marry people and bury people and they serve God and win souls. God bless them. God bless them. They're not some second class preacher in my book. But he called me up and he said, we got to encourage these guys. I said, I know we do. And I said, I appreciate that. Thank you, Brother Smith, for doing that. And he said, well, here's why I called. Tuesday afternoon, Wednesday afternoon, Thursday afternoon. We're going to have an hour and a half session. I've picked 3 country churches, rural churches in small towns. and I want to highlight those churches and have the pastor come, and I want him to speak, and then I want to interview him, and we're going to see if we can encourage him. I said, oh, that's a good idea. That's great. And he said, now I want you to be the one on Wednesday. And I said, that's a bad, bad, bad idea. I said, I appreciate what I mean it. I'm going to tell you from the bottom of my toes to the top of my head, there wasn't this wow, there wasn't this good, there was literally, I moved the phone away and went, oh no. You say, why? I'm going to tell you why. I had spent all of January and February prepping to speak on spiritual warfare. And the first thought that I had was, isn't that kind of like climbing up on the roof and drawing a big bullseye on your church? So I'm just not saying much. All I'm thinking is, you know what? I love this man. I appreciate this man. But do I want to take Blessed Hope Baptist? I mean, honestly, I said, do I want to take Blessed Hope Baptist Church through this? And I was tempted just to say no. And he said, Brother Ross, listen to me. We've got to help these guys. He said, Brother Ross, what God's used your dad to do there is a miracle. He said, Brother Ross, you built... I'm not calling it great churches. I'm calling it strong churches in small communities. And he said, there's something going on there. And it'll encourage some people. And all I could think of was, oh my goodness sakes. You know, but I thought... God gave me these thoughts. I thought, you know what? The Bible says this. Folks, listen to this verse. Honor thy father and thy mother. And I thought, I told Brother Smith, I said, I will do this. I said, number one, to hopefully bring glory to God. Number two, I'll do this to honor my dad. And I said, number three, I'll do this because I know what it's like to be that preacher with a little country church in a town struggling, and know what it is to go to a conference and get help and know what a conference to get not get help. Now, why did you announce this, Brother Jared? Why didn't you just sneak out of town and come back? Well, most of you get the sword, you don't read it, so I was pretty safe about that. It's being advertised. Some of the folks found out about it. My intent almost really was that, and I thought to myself, you know what, that's not fair to the people. Because whatever is right about this place and whatever we are doing right, there's just not one guy doing it. There's a congregation doing it. But listen to me. Listen to me. If somebody calls you up and say, hey, I see that your pastor and your church is going to be highlighted at the afternoon session of the Sword of the Lord. If you get a big head, if you start talking about all of the reasons why we're so wonderful, you are dooming this ministry. If I go down there and I am so idiotic as to take the few minutes that he gives me and try to heap glory or praise on me or any one of you, then you know what? I don't have brain cell one. What are we going to do? We're going to go down there and we're going to lift up Jesus. We're going to glorify God. Yes, they're going to want to know about some nuts and bolts and methods and things we do and emphasis. And we're going to share some practical things. But folks, listen to me. I wouldn't do it for any other reason except let's just glorify God. Now, what I'm saying is this. I'm asking you not to go on a summer crime spree. I'm asking you, bus captain, when you have a good day, don't you rob God. I'm telling you, youth pastor and youth leaders, when your teens start getting right and doing right, don't you rob God of the praise of that. I'm talking to you parents. Parents, you better listen to me about this. You know what? You get a big head because some of your kids are doing pretty well. I'm going to tell you, God can pop that big head with one pen. You better understand that it's God. I've said a long time ago, if any of my kids have failings, they're my responsibility. If any of them turn out good, it's God's. God gets the glory. God's the reason for it. And so let's be careful that we do not, thou shalt not steal, Blessed Hope Baptist Church. So don't you steal any praise. Don't you steal any praise from God. Amen. Let me have you go back to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. And by the way, pray for me. and pray for our church during this time. I want to be a blessing. I want to be a help, but I certainly want to do it in the right context. Exodus chapter 20, we read this verse. And this is the principle, of course, of the Lord's Day, or setting aside one day a week for the Lord. Exodus 20, verse 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. I've said some things recently about this. I know the Sabbath is a Saturday. I also understand when Jesus rose from the dead, the New Testament church focused on the miracle of the resurrection, and the new assemblies met on the first day of the week, not the last day of the week. Sunday is the Lord's Day. I mentioned this morning, all days are the Lord's Day, but there is a biblical principle of setting aside one day a week solely unto the Lord. Listen, folks, don't steal Sunday from God. Don't steal Sunday from God. Again, summertime, for whatever reason, we begin to justify stealing the Lord's Day from the Lord. I'm glad you're going on vacation. I say this every year, don't I? And I'm going to keep saying it. Shame on you. Shame on you if you leave this here and go on vacation and you don't go to church on Sunday morning, you don't go to church on Sunday night, you don't go to church on Wednesday night. Well, I just don't believe that. Well, you've got a faulty belief system. You are W-R-O-N-G wrong. Capital every one of them, 5 exclamation marks after. You're wrong! What are you telling your children? You sleep in on Sunday because it's vacation. What are you doing telling your children when you only go to church and not Sunday school because you're on vacation? What are you telling your children when you skip out on Sunday night on vacation? Brother Jerry, there's something we want to go see. There's something we want to do. Well, that's true of a lot of Sunday nights. But you know what? We don't steal the Lord's Day. And you know what? If you've been in the habit of going to Wednesday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, that's the pattern of your church, then you ought to find a good Wednesday night Bible study and just stay in that pattern. Don't steal the Lord's Day. Don't steal that from God. People get in busy in the summer. Say, Brother Jerry, you know, there's more opportunities. The days are longer. The work's there. You know what? That's no excuse for not being here Wednesday night. That's no excuse for not being here Wednesday night. Don't steal what belongs to the Lord. Don't go on a crime spree. I wish we could get Christians. I'm seeing this in our fundamental circles. I'm not sure what to do about it, except just preach the Bible. But we're getting more and more callous to the idea and callous against the preaching of just faithfulness to God's house. And it's worrying me. And we've got a generation coming up that just can miss church and don't seem to bother them a bit. They're hit, they're missed, they're in, they're out. You know, little Johnny sneezes, all the family has to stay home to hold the handkerchief. I don't get this stuff. I mean, what happened to don't call in, crawl in? What happened to just show up? What happened to, honestly, you say, Brother Jerry, there's never a circumstance. I know there are. But I know that there's a lot of times when we could have been there, we're just not there. Take it seriously. Don't get in the habit of stealing from the Lord. Stealing from the Lord His day. Let me go to Ecclesiastes chapter number 12 and keep moving here tonight. I don't want you on a criminal, a crime spree. I don't want you on a spiritual crime spree. Listen, folks, we shouldn't have to drag in here September 1st and have a take 3 or 4 weeks just to get folks right with God because of the summertime and what we've let happen in our lives during the summertime. We should just, listen, man, I'll tell you what. You say, Brother Jerry, it's hot in the summer. Then let's get red hot for Jesus Christ. Let's get red hot in our service. Let's get red hot in our faithfulness. Let's not let the temperatures go up and our faithfulness fall off. Let's go on up there. Let's be red hot in our soul winning. Let's not do less. Let's do more for the Lord Jesus Christ. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. All of you young people, listen to me. Ecclesiastes 12:1, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Listen, don't steal the tithes and offerings from the Lord. Don't steal praise from the Lord. Don't steal Sundays from the Lord. Let me give you the next one, number 4. Young people, don't steal your youth from God. Don't you steal your youth from God. There's ever a time you ought to be red hot on fire, doing everything you can, using all the maximum of your enthusiasm, zeal, and energy. It ought to be during your youth, during the years of your youth. Be strong for God. Don't steal your youth from God. Now, I know that this is always a principle, but it's an odd and strange thing where I can watch young people for the most part for 9 months, stay basically right with God, and in a 3-month period, they can absolutely spiritually go to pot. They come dragging back into Christian school with so much guilt and guilt-ridden and unfaithfulness and pulled so many shenanigans and done so many things they're ashamed. Listen, I'm telling you, at the beginning of the summer, you don't have to be that way at the end of the summer. I want you to stay on fire for the Lord. I want you to stay busy for the Lord. I want you to give not less. I want you to give more to the Lord. And it just makes sense to me that a young person all of a sudden has the flexibility of schedule of no longer being in school. How in the world can you justify doing less for God, not more for God? Not more for God. I met with our young people. And what I said to them, I want to say to everybody here. But I met with our teenagers and our youth group this evening. And this is the core youth group. And I told them, I 100%, down to the last person, need them in this chapel ministry that we're going to start the first Sunday in June. I need every single member of our youth group to go over there. We're going to have a 5 o'clock to 6 o'clock service. They're going to have to be here at 4:15 to head over there. They're going to meet over there at Victory Baptist Chapel, Victory Baptist Church, from 5 o'clock to 6 o'clock. We need the young people involved in this. Folks, I don't know if you understand what an opportunity. Let me just say this. And Brother Paul, if you think of another one, you tell me. I don't know of a Baptist church in America whose teenage youth department is involved in a weekly project of planting a brand new church. I've never heard of that. But our youth group has that opportunity starting the first Sunday in June. Say, Brother Jerry, we've already talked about it, and our daughter or our son is on a bus route. Well, amen. Amen. Good. Well, you don't understand. They don't get home till 2:30. Amen. I've got one of them. Guess where she's going to be at 4:15? You say, but you don't understand. They're delicate. You know what I got to say to that? That's a bunch of hogwash. That's a bunch of hogwash. When I was your kid's age, I'd go out and work 10 hours a day in the summertime, get home, take a shower, call my buddies, and want to go play 3 hours of basketball. Now, you got enough energy to do that on Thursday, but you don't have, for some reason, Sunday, all of your strength is sapped, and you know, since when does a 16-year-old need a Sunday afternoon nap? My children laughed at us growing up because we wanted a Sunday afternoon nap. You know what? That's for babies and old people. That's not for teenagers. That's why I'm sending them to do it, so I can get my Sunday afternoon nap. Amen. Amen. That's good preaching. Amen. Honestly, every single one of them. I need every single one of them. You say, Brother Jerry, what are they going to be doing over there? They're going to be planting a church. They're going to be in the parking lot greeting people as they come in. They're going to be inside the door passing out bulletins. They're going to be ushering. They're going to be providing the special music. They're going to be praying. They're going to be song leading. They're going to be piano playing. They are going to provide the spirit, the nucleus of a brand new work. They're going to be, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believer. When people walk in, they're going to learn how a church is supposed to be and the spirit it's supposed to have from a teenager. Amen. I told them in there this evening, I said, I'm so excited about this. This is going to help you grow so much. You realize you can't hide or just be carried upon the waves of the spirituality of the adults in this church. You can't just mingle into the congregation. You will be the congregation. Listen, you can't wait around for Brother Tom or Brother Jeffrey or Brother Jonathan to say amen in church. You're going to have to be the one young man that says amen in church. You young ladies can't sit there waiting for Sister Donna or Sister Cheryl or somebody else to nod their head. You're going to be the ones that have to nod your head. Listen, I'm saying amen. A little subtle there. Amen! Amen! Amen. I don't care. If one of them gets loose, we'll let her go. Amen. I'm just saying. Can you imagine an opportunity like that? And if we're not careful, what we want to do is, for some reason, listen, if this isn't you, it's not you, and it's not the majority of the folks in here. But folks, listen to me. If you are a parent and you have a teenager and you're in this ministry, stop treating it like a smorgasbord. Every single thing that a teen can be involved in, plug them in! Plug them in! We're going to have teen camp. You know who ought to be going to teen camp? Every single member of the youth group of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. They ought to be involved in it. If you young men, I understand some of you have work schedules, you get jobs, I understand all that, but you need to talk to your employer. Teen camp, I need to be off that week. If you aren't working and you get off work on Wednesdays, or you can arrange to get off work on Wednesdays, don't let teen soul winning die during the summer months. 3:30 on Wednesdays. If you can be here, you ought to be here. I mean this. I'm telling you right now, if 3:30 comes on teen soul winning and there's somebody 7th through 12th grade and you're not at your workplace working and you're just sitting at home or goofing around or not coming, I'm praying right now that the fleas of a million camels infest your armpits. Amen. You come in here Sunday still itching from Wednesday. I'm telling you what. Now, parents, I'm pleading with you. I mean this. Stop this pulling back on the reins. Man alive, I believe this. I did this the whole time I was a youth pastor. When the seventh graders came on in from the and joined the youth group, I looked at them and said, "You've been in this church 12 years. For the most part, you've sat and listened and been taught, and that's been good. By the way, are you ready to start doing something?" And you know what you'd see those little seventh grade heads doing? You know why? Because inside of them there's a desire to do something for God. And I'd say, now you're still going to have to sit and do some learning and listening, but we're also going to start plugging you in. It's time to serve God. Now, young people, listen, don't you steal your youth from God. You 20-somethings, 18, 19, 20, 21, listen, if all you're doing is attending church and already at that young, tender age you've become a professional pew bump, shame on you. Shame on you! We didn't train you all these years so you can graduate and sit. We trained you so you'd get up and go. There's ministries that need your help. There's areas we need you to be plugged into. Just because you're not in the youth group don't mean you can't come over and be involved with that chapel ministry. Doesn't mean you can't show up here on Wednesdays and knock some doors, pass some tracts out. You say, "Well, I'm an adult." Good, we got ladies soul winning, amen. Show up the lady, we got church-wide soul. We're starting some new visitation times this summer. Plug in! Plug in. Don't steal your youth from God. I'm always glad when somebody that's in their 20s gets saved, or even sadder, gets right with God for the rest of their life, they tell teenagers, "You know what? Try to do everything you can for God. I sure wish I would have given my life to God as a teenager." By the way, I mean that. I'm glad if you got to a point where you're right with God and you're going on. I'm not picking on you. But how much better not to have that testimony? How much better it is to say, "You know what, I didn't wait around till I hit 25 or 30 or 35 for I decided to take this thing serious. Man, from 13, 14 years old, buddy, I was involved, I was knocking doors, I was involved in ministries of the church. Buddy, I just went in swinging. Man, a preacher would point me a direction, I'd take off in it. I'd go beg my parents and they'd say, 'Of course you can. Good night, we want you to serve the Lord.'" And that's the way it ought to be. So don't forget that. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, let's finish there. Summer crime sprees. All of a sudden you've got people stealing from the Lord, tithes and offerings, stealing praise from God, stealing the Lord's Day just because it's summertime. Young people, all of a sudden, they're not in the Christian school, so they check out spiritually for 3 months, come dragging back in. Stole their summer from God. What a shameful thing. Stole their summer from God. Let me give you the last one. Don't steal everything that you are and everything that you could be from God. This is for all of us. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. What? "Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own?" Ye are not your own. "For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's." You know what, folks? When we steal back ourself from God, when we take back ourself from God, we are stealing from God just as much as if we were to reach in an offering plate to steal money out of it. The day that you got saved, God bought you. He bought you. Lock, stock, and barrel. He bought you. And then the new owner said, this is what I want you to do. You bring glory and honor to me. And that's what you're supposed to do with your life. Now, folks, listen to me. Three old boys from Georgia. A couple cases of beer. And a stupid idea. And you know what? 4 days later, they're in jail. Paying the price for their foolishness. Paying a price for their criminal actions. And what I'm saying to each and every one of you is this. Don't get to the end of the summer and have God say, you know what? You have broken one of my 10 commandments. And there's going to be consequences that I have to bring into your life because you have stolen from me. Summer spiritual crime spree. Let's not let that happen here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Let's better bow our heads, close our eyes. Get real quiet. Get real still for just a moment. Don't let this the seed that's been sown be plucked away. Let it take root. Are you giving tithes? Are you giving offerings? Is God blessing your ministry or your efforts at this church in some way and you're stealing praise from the Lord? You got in the habit of just flippantly stealing from God a service here, a service there. Young people, are you right now criminal in your actions towards God because you're taking your youth and you're stealing it from God? Christians, have we said, my body's mine, my future's mine, my energies are mine, my life's mine, when God says, what? Know you not that your body's the temple of God? You're not your own. You're bought with a price. Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. I want you to pray for each other this summer. I want you to pray for our young people this summer. I don't know why it is, but it just seems like it's the devil's time to make hay. It's the devil's time to wreak havoc in a lot of people's lives. I would ask that every Christian tonight, dedicate this summer to God. Dedicate this summer to God. Heavenly Father, I pray that you just bless and move and do something sweet and powerful. I pray, Lord, that 3 months from now we can look back and say, spiritually, this has been the greatest summer of my life. And Lord, I don't believe it'll be so if we don't take some preventative measures here at the beginning of the summer, make some decisions, make some holy vows to God, make some heartfelt determinations in our own life. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.